And I am back for season 5, episode 2. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Buzz Talk. This is Ian, and you are listening to your favorite show, Buzz Talk, every day at work. Your work-life balance, your journey to simplicity. And if you're new to this, you're on the right show. If you are someone who likes simple, straight talk, no fluff stuff, then this is the podcast to listen to. Well, as you've seen in the previous episode, and if you've not heard the previous episode, then you may want to do so because much of it is interconnected. So I've divided the year into 12 themes, and each month has a theme. And in January, the theme is how to build robust teams. And as part of that theme, the first episode was about hiring top talent. How do you do that? What is it that you're missing out, and so on and so forth. So if you haven't heard that, please go back, listen to it, and then come to this episode. All right. So in this episode, moving on to the theme, we are going to talk about onboarding, training, onboarding. Essentially, what is it that we need to do to shorten the ramp up time to go live? Typically, it's 2 to 3 months for most people. Can we bring it down to 1 month? Is it even realistic? Or is it even okay to do it in 15 days? The question is, are we doing the right things? Do we have the right programs? Do we have the right techniques? Are we using the right methodologies so as to set / calibrate / realign someone who comes from a diverse background, diverse work experience, so that they can reset and get started into this new environment? We all hear the proverbial, you know, let's reset the counters to zero and leave everything behind and unlearn and now relearn. You know, we've heard those things. But does it really happen? Do the people easily forget what made them successful? We'll have answers to some of these questions, not all. And clearly we'll have more questions, as is the case in Buzz Talk, more often than not, that we'll end up having more questions than answers. But hey, the whole idea is to sit up and think and reflect back and introspect and see if we can find our own answers which work to the best of our situation. All right. With that, welcome back. And you know where to find me on LinkedIn. It's IN/IanBan, AayanBan, or you can go to X, formerly Twitter. That's Ianisms. That's # AayanISMS. Ianism. So if you had any thoughts, comments, suggestions, doubts, that's the fastest way to reach me. There's also a voice message option, so you can leave a voice message if you care. And there is a poll if you're on Spotify. Just pop out of the episode and you will see the question. With all those introductions, pleasantries, and disclaimers done, did I do a disclaimer? Yeah, let me just do a disclaimer once more. There is this episode on disclaimer alone. If you haven't heard that, do listen to that. Essentially, to simplify this for you, all the content that you hear on Buzz Talk does not mean that my past, present, or future employers reflect that, agree to that, or endorse that. It's my individual personal belief. So please be very careful and mindful about that. Do not automatically associate. Then you might ask, well, all of it is about workplace. So, well, yeah, it is not just from my workplace alone, right? It's about the learnings and experiences that you've had over the years and inferences. And of course, from the set of people that you interact with globally, not just in India, but worldwide. And then you kind of make sense of it and see if you have something intelligent to add. And so that's where this whole content construct comes from. So that's the disclaimer out there. It's a purely personal point of view. All right, with all those things behind us, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Buzz Talk. Let's dive right in. Okay, for me, the training and development starts from T-15. So what is T-15? Suppose the date of joining is 15th of January. The engagement training and development activity starts from the 1st of January. What is 1st of January situation? That the candidate has accepted, the job seeker has accepted the offer, confirmed their date of joining, all the paperwork formalities from his existing job or her existing job have been shared with you in terms of the resignation letter and everything. So once that is done, you want to make sure that you are in touch with the new joiner who's yet to come on board. And so, and this could be divided actually into HR and training and onboarding sales enablement people. I'd rather have the HR function deliver this message, as in the recruitment team, saying you expect emails on assignments. And these are not like assignments like giving an exam kind of assignments, but it's very simple, generic engagement activity where I start T-minus 15 with, hey, can you share a 30, 60, 90 day plan? Can you research on one of the company products and give your point of view? Whatever is publicly available information, you search online, you do your own research, and then come up with your inference as an activity. Then you can also talk about writing a white paper. Keep it simple. I mean, I know I don't mean to sound like a PhD thesis or anything. Idea is to see how the person thinks about a particular product impact or service impact. Like if you're in the services industry, what do you think is the future of services in the B2B segment? Or if you're a product company, what do you think is happening as an impact in this vertical? And so on and so forth. So what are your original thoughts? And this kind of makes the person think and also gives you a sense on once you receive these assignments, and you could get creative on this, right? The person is already starting to pre-align into the pace, the thought process, because they would have to research about the company and then read up about the company more than the job description. So there's no such secret to this, but there and then if you can pull this T-minus 15 off successfully, chances are you would have shaved off at least 10 days of training right there. So that on D-Day, on the day of joining, after, of course, the training, the bank facilities, I-card, and all those kind of conversations are done and the paperwork are signed and everything, day two could be a great time for them to present their learnings in the last 15 days. And that could be to the team, to the management, to the sales enablement professionals, whoever. And so immediately you have like a scorecard kind of an analysis, not to put the person on pressure, but to know exactly the delta which you as a sales enablement or a training or L&D professional will need to work on. Now, of course, in large organizations, when the batch sizes are more than 30 and something, then you need to tweak it a little bit. But my guess is we often hire for the same department not more than 5 or 6 people at a time. Joining 5 people joining at the same time in itself is a big event, isn't it? So I'm just saying if 2 or 3 people join, you can manage this. And so the assessment you need to do is, well, I asked them to do this, and if I ask the same set of questions to the folks on the production floor, those who are actually on the floor, probably 6 months old in the system or 1 year old in the system, how would they have done it differently? And that becomes your guideline or benchmark. You can ask this from the hiring manager, the supervisor, the direct manager, saying, run this exercise with your existing team and see what they can come up with now. And if you make that as a benchmark, then this new joiner, whatever they come up with, can be measured against that. And there will be a certain average. And you say, oh, this guy, that their presentation is above average, above the standard that we got from the existing 7 people in the team on the floor. Or it could be below average in most cases, which is not necessarily a bad sign. It's maybe they're good in other areas. So, and then you know, okay, this person is great in analytical skills. This person has great in executive communication skills. However, their presentation skills on the PowerPoint probably needs to be better. And so immediately know if you are in such a role where you need to send a lot of custom presentations over and above the templates that are available, then that is an area that you work specifically, and it could of course go into the products as well. So what are the products that you're selling, and you can understand and test their knowledge. Are they at level 100, level 200? What's their level and versus what is the average level on the floor? So you know, okay, if the average floor level is at 400 and this guy is at 200, the delta that is there are the areas that you would want to give the supervisor, the hiring manager, as feedback, that while this person knew all the basics and by their own efforts and, you know, searching the net and everything, you would need to focus on specifically these two, three areas. So I don't know whether a training onboarding feedback, constructive, actionable feedback is shared with the supervising manager or the hiring manager. Do you do that? I mean, how many of you do that? Please let me know in the comments, because I don't seem to recall many people doing it. But it's a great activity. Like the person spends almost about a month or thereabouts with the training team, with the sales development enablement team, operations, sales support team, or whatever you call that. They will have their assessment, insights that, you know, while this is a great hire, you may also nudge, nurture, and that should be a handover document passed on from onboarding teams to the hiring manager, so that that becomes their starting point of their one-on-ones. You know, the first one-on-one check-in can start from this document. Hey, how did your onboarding program go? How, instead of just this casual check-in, like, hey, how was your training? The honeymoon is over. You know, that's the age-old classic that we keep on hearing, right? Honeymoon is over. And like, okay, I get it. I didn't know this was going to be the living hell. Why shouldn't it be a honeymoon forever instead of honeymoon being over? Okay, nine, I'm getting too optimistic there. But you get the drift, right? That somewhere that tangible assessment needs to happen, where the person is guided and made aware of how the company operates, how the team operates, and what are the areas they need to focus deeper and increase their knowledge. And in doing so, of course, you can help shorten the ramp-up time. So this is a classical way of doing it, right? 15 days, you shave off in a T-15. So then in the next 15 days, say from 15 January through 30th of January, you extensively focus on the delta and something incremental and additional, which can probably be as a best practice that your top two are exhibiting consistently over a period of time. You know, the top two reps on the floor demonstrate these three things. Can that become a best practice? And then, you know, this is how to be successful. You'll be given a region, a territory, a set of accounts, or whatever be the case. Then can you emulate the same? Can you replicate? Of course, we'd be very open if you have a smarter idea, if you have a different or a better idea. Absolutely happy to hear that out as well. So what happens is you create this engagement conversation, you create this interactivity, and the person starts to develop a sense of belonging, saying, hey, somebody is listening to me and somebody is already investing in my development and growth, like on what, the fifth day of my joining. That is fantastic. So I don't know about you, but I would really appreciate that. And it also helps when you shorten the ramp up time, that, you know, for the average manager, the day the person steps on board, the clock is on, right? The budget is already given to the person, right? It's not that when the person goes live, only then the added target will be given to you. It's not like that. So whether the person is there, not there, if you have a budget for 7 or 10 people, whether you have 7 on board or 8 on board, you carry 10 people's targets. That's been the way of the world. And so managers are always in a hurry to quickly get somebody on board and quickly get started. And hence that, and see this, the cyclical nature of this, that because you want a quick, you know, hit the ground running kind of person, you tend to hire people who speak the same language, come from the same environment, and so that you have to train them less and all that. Now, it could be both productive and counterproductive because you add more of the sameness to your business. And if that's what you want, I remember the fabric I spoke about in the previous episode. If that's what you want, then okay. But if it adds to the quote unquote sameness of it all. You need a slightly different hire. You need a mix. You need to make it a rich experience with diverse opinions and everything. In that case, this person, if you will need to invest some time before they blossom and they come on to into their own core competency and strength and exhibit or demonstrate their superpowers. So do you have the time for that? Do you have the patience for that? And if you don't, then are you having a short-term fix or a long-term fix is a question that you need to ask. So these are all not individual decisions to be made by the sales ops team or the training team. These are in conjunction, in consultation with the business, with the HR, with the recruitment, with everybody, with even executive management stepping in and say, hey, this is what we want. Why do you want it? Because we want a longer tenure and better productivity and develop a sense of team and belonging. If none of these conversations happen, none of this shit matters, then you are basically falling into the trap of mediocrity rising as a standard of excellence. Thinking, oh, okay, this is, workable, quote unquote, chalta hai, let it work. If it's working, why fix it? And that's the way I know. And then you keep hitting the same problems that your predecessor, their predecessors, everyone faced the same thing. And so it's really no fun if you have not improved as a company, as a process, as a person, as a skill set, same time last year, as compared to same time last year, isn't it? So think about this training and development program in the classical sense, where you go through the first month or so. Can you bring it down to, and if depends on the company and complexity and the project or product, if that is, 1.5 months or 2 months, can you bring it down to 1 month? And if you're doing it for 1 month, can you bring it down to 20 days? Make it a gradual process. But however is a better word, right? However, if you want to mix it up a little bit from a training onboarding standpoint, what could you do? And this is just an experimental thought. Give it a thought. Do your due diligence. I would also explore where the person goes to the floor on day one. Like day one, get the guy or girl to sit with the top performer and get a sense on how this works. I need to choose the performers, top performers carefully, because if they set a bad precedent, then that becomes their benchmark. So that supervisory oversight is always required, where who you're buddying this person up with. Are they setting the right example or the wrong example? But assuming you've done, as a people manager, your due diligence, you get the person to sit on the floor on day one, even if it does not make sense to them, right? They will not be relating to many things. But you know what? It's not like they're coming in from such a diverse environment that none of it will make sense. Right? It's not like that. Right? There will be some similarity. And in roles like sales and business development, the core thought process remains the same. You have to reach out to a customer, pitch your product service, and see if you can evoke an interest which can convert into a sale. At the heart of it, that remains. And what wraps around is the way to go about it, the methodology, the CRM that is used, the vocabulary and everything. But at the heart of it, that is the core framework of it. So given that, you would have hired someone with a similar framework. They might have done it slightly differently, which is good to make them hear and have this person who can answer the stupidest questions, right? It's your silly questions 101. Why is it this tab here and not here is a completely valid question, right? Something like that. And then on day three, if you do that on day two, right, get the guy on the floor. On day three, have an alternate where they have a classroom session where they present what they learned, observed, saw on the floor as on day two. And you do this over a period of 10 days, and then you see the development, the movement is much faster. So basically, when they come to the classroom on day three and present their observation, you immediately answer or correct or adjust or modify their misconceptions or misunderstandings or confusions then and there. So it's, in some sense, it's catering to their instant gratification rather than going the standardized archaic way of, you know, like how they write a essay, introduction, body, conclusion. That's how you'd like to do it. But you mix it up a little bit, it keeps them on their toes. It's like, oh, you were thinking like this, but this actually means this. And then you will see by the time it gets to the 10th day or 12th day, they have lesser doubts. They're more aligned. They understand much faster and quicker because they're closer to the action and they get it. And that's a big relief, isn't it? Instead of spending 45 days training them, if that gets done in 15 days flat and they've picked up some of the best practices, they hit the ground running. So that's another way to look at it, and I leave it to your sound judgment whether it culturally it works in your organization or not. I'd certainly be very happy in this kind of mix and match approach. The third one is gamification. And some of you do that, I know. You know, there is in very few organizations. But by gamification, I mean there are points. You score points, and there has to be the best new joiner kind of an award at the end of it. So it's more like a workshop than a training session. Why? Because people are done and bored and they have low attention spans, especially now, to go through and sit through death by PowerPoint. You know, that is so done. I'd have a workshop. Like, I'd say, hey, what do you know? Let me then role play with you. Let me then assess you, and then you present yourself, and let's have a competition. Let's divide you into groups, just like how we did in other competitions like sales contests or themes, and see which groups wins. May the best group win, and then automatically, if you're a HR person in the room, you can say, okay, these are the high potentials. These people of the 30 hires or 20 hires that you've done, then these five people are most likely to be the better hire, you know, better talent, someone to groom further, you know, the hypo, as they call it, high potential folks. So that'd be a good start, wouldn't it? And so lots to take away when you gamify it and you make it competitive. Then the sense of energy is high when they come on the floor. Of course, their energy levels be like, oh my God, it was so different there. And the production floor is like at a completely different pace. And you're like, oh man. But that can be managed. That expectation can be managed. So do you have agencies who can custom design such simulation or scenario based gamification? It's more like a contest thingy. It need not be very expensive, sophisticated, something like that you have to enter into a software. I'd probably put modules, like module 1, 2, 3, and say give it points, you know, 5 points for module 1, 10 for 2, and 20 for 3, and let's take an average, because team sizes sometimes could be uneven, and see which team gets the most points. And there could be multiple things. If you're specially hired sales folks, think of this, you know, split out the sales cycle or the sales stages in the sales cycle. So the first bucket could be introduction, bonding and rapport, establishing equity, credibility. That could be one module. Then next could be finding, discovering, unearthing opportunities. Then the next could be qualifying and closing opportunities. So this could be three modules, and then you could assign points. The closer you get to closing revenue, and, you know, do a scorecard, which team actually gets to the revenue, or which team gets the maximum revenue, and stuff like that. It could be a healthy gamification, if you will, of the entire process. And that, my friends, could help reduce, because people love this dopamine kick once they win something, right? So let the head of business come back and, you know, appreciate or give a certificate or acknowledge, or, you know, this report should be given to, you know, the real N plus one, right? Maybe C minus one, or even the C level guys, depending on the size of the company, of course, to come and, you know, visit on make a surprise visit and cheer them on and say, hey, look, let me help you on this. And it's like an org-wide treasure hunt where they can go and seek inputs from various managers in various departments, and then they can come back and make it so much more fun. That way, the org will get to know them, they will get to know the org and find out more information, and the integration will become that much more smarter and smoother. Yes, my friends, that's the third one. So let me know what you think. If you think this made sense, it doesn't make sense. Does it? It's like, oh my God, this is so much out of syllabus that I don't know what these guys will say. You know, whatever floats your boat. I mean, there are very serious organizations where they will say, this doesn't happen here. You want to do this, go elsewhere, take a walk. I mean, too bad if you're in such an organization. I feel sorry for you already. But give it a thought. You know, you have to evolve. I mean, don't be an ambassador in the age of an XUV. What I'm saying is, ambassador was one of the favorite cars in yesteryears in the Sun Motors. It was probably a sedan, but people almost use it as a SUV because they could stuff everything in. And XUV is, of course, Mahindra's XUV, which is a very modern, made in India kind of a new age SUV, which is doing reasonably well in the market, I hear. And so, idea is to evolve as well as an organization and not get stuck to this is how it worked and this is how it is and this is how it ever will be. And so maybe you want to give that a rethink. And if you're lucky enough to be part of organizations which are constantly changing, evolving, then good luck to you. And so experimentation goes a long way, mixing and matching and, you know, surprising and delighting people. You know, oftentimes, even the negotiations, right, especially the bigger the brand, what happens is the salary negotiations, often the job seekers in many a cases, especially in India, are in a desperate situation. So they will accept whatever is given. They don't have the partner with them or the power to walk away from the deal. And so there is this buyer's remorse that they carry into the new job because they say, hey, I didn't have any other alternatives or choice, but this is what was given to me, so this is what I accept. And there is this tinge of sadness, but this can be overcome once they see, oh, this was so much worth it. I couldn't see this from outside. This is so much more fun. And immediately they leave behind the angst or the pain or the regret, if you will, and redirect that negative energy into positive energy and start delivering on productivity and get integrated even faster. And who knows, it may even impact their longevity, as in they will stay longer in the organization because they had such fond memories. I'll leave you at that. Think of this, give it a thought. If there are ideas, I'm sure there are multiple other ways to engage in training and onboarding sessions. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts. Let me know in the comments and voice messages and tweets, happy to take newer ideas and give it a shout out. Maybe you can do a contest here itself that the best idea wins a goodie. I don't know if I have a goodie. I'll probably make some goodies. I was long thinking of making Bus Talk t-shirts and Bus Talk mugs, some merchandise. Some of it is there at my residence, but I've not really thought of giving it away. But if I hear some great ideas, I'm happy to do that. It has to be something, the standards are very high. So if it is something which is very exclusive and very innovative and very interesting, I'm more than happy to acknowledge it on any of the future episodes and share it with you. And then, of course, I'll send over, if you're comfortable sharing your address, I will make sure that I courier it to you. It's very simple. I don't have any sophisticated mechanism, but I assure you, I will send it out. Well, on that note, that's all the time I had for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed sharing it with you. As you see, this is an ongoing narrative. It's an ongoing series of building robust teams. And a sneak peek into next week is all about incentives that drive the sales performance. We'll talk about structures. We'll talk about what is the right way to disperse. I mean, not the physical disbursement, and how do you split the quota, and more importantly, how else can one incentivize in an age where people get bored? In many a cases, big money, even big money, doesn't seem to excite many people. So I'll touch a little bit upon these anomalies, and again, as always, give you something to think about. So hope to see you back sometime soon, and probably earlier than next week, if at all. And we'll talk a little bit more on that. All right. So stay well, stay safe, take care. And you do want to share this with those who care. This is your host, Ayan, and you are listening to Bus Talk.